Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio on the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges, your host of Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. Well, tonight, I hope you have brought your earplugs, perhaps, if you're not a dyed-in-the-wool metal fan. But that's okay, because you can always turn it down a little bit. But not too much, because this music was meant to be played loud and proud. Joining me in just a bit, Ross Friedman, best known in the rock and roll world as Ross the Boss. He's a great guitar player. He was a founding member of both punk and metal bands, bands like The Dictators, Manowar, and of course, he's got his own slew of albums out there, and we're going to play some from all of those, including his new one, Born of Fire. It's coming up. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio. This is Midwest Beat with yours truly, Tom Lounges, as your host for the next hour. We're going to be talking about heavy metal. That's right, fly those devil horns, because we've got one of the purveyors of metal, Mr. Ross Friedman, a.k.a. Ross the Boss. I became a fan of Ross when he was doing Manowar, and then I looked back into his career and discovered The Dictators, and now he's got a brand new album out, one of many solo albums he's done in recent years called Born of Fire. So we'll be talking with Ross the Boss about all of those things and more. He's got a couple of different projects in the works, including a special all-star assembly, I guess you'd say. But let's take it back to where it all started, at least for the public and Ross. This is from 1975, pre-punk rock, mind you, pre-punk rock, as The Dictators take on an Indiana band's classic. Tell you more about it after you listen to it, but I know you'll know it. Sing along and let's pretend we're in Cali.
Well, out there I have it.
Oh, yeah. Cha-cha-cha. He shakes and he boogaloos, too. Channeling some great Indiana rock and roll there that's originated about 30 minutes down the road from where I'm sitting right now here at Lakeshore. That's an original tune from the Rivieras. Remember them out of South Bend, Indiana? Well, they had a hit with that around 1962, 63, and mark it up a dozen years, and the Dictators reinvented it way before the Ramones. And they brought it in as, I guess you'd call it proto-punk. I'm not quite sure what these labels are all about, but they certainly were ahead of the curve of the punk rock scene. They were into that garage rock sound that really was the heart and soul of rock and roll. And the guy playing guitar on that and on all of the songs you're going to be hearing this evening, including the new stuff, is Mr. Ross Friedman, a.k.a. Ross the Boss. Hello, Ross. How are you?
Good evening, my friend. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. We have a little bit of that sun here in Indiana, although it's not California's sun. It is a welcome relief. It's been about 90 to 100 degrees here. So I don't know. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Queens, New York.
Okay. You're right where you started then.
Well, I started in the Bronx, you know, so.
A slight turn.
I mean, they can't help it here in Queens, but, you know, we'll let them pass.
You know, it's interesting because you go back and you listen to the Dictators, and that, of course, was from the first album, Go Girl Crazy. I think that was 74, 75. And, you know, punk rock hadn't been coined yet. They didn't call it punk rock then. But you were ahead of the curve then, and also with Manowar, who came along later with the melodic rock or the melodic heavy metal sound. But let's talk about the Dictators first of all.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about that band. And I understand that there's talk of a reunion?
Well, it's not a talk. We've been recording.
So, oh, okay.
The original band is recording. And it's me, Top Ten, Andy, and our new drummer, Albert Bouchard from Blue Oyster Cult.
Well, I'm going to have Joe Bouchard on the show here in about a week. His brother. I remember seeing Albert play with BOC back in the day, probably late 70s, and he would drum while wearing a giant Godzilla head.
Right.
What a character.
Oh, he's the best.
Is he still a wild man?
He is absolutely fantastic, yep.
Wow, excellent
stuff.
He's
pretty much a genius.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, what brought back the Dictators? I mean, why go back to that? And is Dick Manitoba still in?
No, Dick's out of the fold right now.
Okay. So what's been happening? I mean, are you recording new material, like newly written material?
We're recording newly written material, a couple of covers, and we're keeping going until when the green light comes, we're going to be ready with a lot of stuff.
Okay. So with the recording going on, is it a one-album, one-off situation? Will you be able to tour behind it? Is that the goal?
We're going to be touring, yep. And, you know, this is serious.
Wow. That is very cool. So how does that affect the Ross the Boss situation? You've got several albums out, including a brand new one, Born of Fire.
Ross the Boss Band, and I got Born of Fire, and then I have Death Dealer coming out in November.
Okay, I was not aware of Death Dealer.
Yep.
So that's a new one on top of Born of Fire, which I thought
that's our third record.
Okay.
That's our third record.
Okay, Born of Fire released, I want to say it was a couple months ago?
March 6th.
March 6th. Okay, it's been a few months. Wow. This is an interesting progression. You go from the punk rock scene, if you will. Did you consider Dictators punk? What did you consider Dictators? You've been called so many things.
I consider the band rock and roll band.
Okay.
I think we are and always a rock and roll band. They throw names on it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like everyone wants to put a name or a category on something.
Yeah, I mean, we're a year before the Ramones. We do California Sun on our record. Mm-hmm. They do California Sun on their record. And we love them. And they loved us. And we miss them terribly. All of them. And, I mean, what can I say? I mean, the Dictators are I would say the forefathers of American punk.
I would agree with that. Ahead of the curve, yeah. Definitely. And they throw that term proto-punk around. I don't know what proto exactly means, but I guess that means you were first.
Yeah, I mean, there was Iggy Pop and there was other stuff, Lou Reed and guys like that.
New York Dolls.
If you take Dictators out of the equation, I don't know what American punk would look like, you know, because the band being so influential now, over the years, not when we came out, they thought we were a bunch of offheads, but for the most part, really, they didn't have absolutely no idea what we were trying to do. A lot of people, but I think that the appreciation of the band has grown, but judging by the number of fans and very, very famous people that follow the band now.
So with the Dictators, you joined shortly after. This is something I just learned about recently while looking a little bit into your career here, was Shaken Street. I remember Shaken Street. They were handled by Sandy Pearlman, who handled BOC, which is probably the connection with Albert.
Right.
But that was a completely different sounding band. I remember seeing them open for BOC. How did you work in with Shaken Street?
Well, after the Dictators had done three albums, we decided to have a hiatus, and I was looking for work, and Sandy found them in Paris. Sandy
right.
found Shaken Street in Paris, and Fabien charmed him. Fabien Shine, the lead singer, charmed Sandy, and all of a sudden, Sandy's managing Shaken Street and producing them to CBS, and the band was on CBS France as it was to begin with, so it was very easy for him to take control, and and Fabien goes, we need a guitar player. Our guitar player sold his guitar for heroin. And Sandy goes, well, that's not good. And he goes, well, I have a guy for you. And I get a call from Paris. And in 6 hours, I was on a plane flying to Paris. So,
wow.
And then the next day, I'm at the rehearsal. And I played like 10 seconds. And I was in the band.
Now, is anything happening with Shaken Street? They haven't done anything since the 80s that I know of.
Well, that's not true.
We
did a French tour last year.
Okay.
We did 15 shows. It was me, Fabien, and Dean Rispler, JP, and from the Dictators NYC. So, we had a really, really cool 15 shows in France.
Okay. Let's move on to Manowar, and then we're going to play a song here. Kings of Metal, Fighting the World, and Hail to England were probably my favorite albums by Manowar.
Great records, right.
We're going to go with the last one, Kings of Metal, which came out 1988. 1988. And we're going to do the title track, and then we're going to talk about heavy metal here in America for just a little bit, and then we're going to start getting into some of your new stuff. So this is the
I wrote the music for Kings of Metal.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So this is it. This is Kings of Metal. Ross the Boss wrote the music. We'll talk about this, the history of Manowar, and then we'll find out what he's doing right now. Kings of Metal, 1988 on Lakeshore Public Radio and Midwest Beat.
Just true.
Man of War, 1988. Kings of Metal there. Good stuff. That is Ross the Boss wrote the music, plays guitar on that. He is our guest here on Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio. He's got some new music we're going to get to in just a bit. Man of War was around for a long time. You guys did 6-7 albums, and then you left the group. What prompted you to leave? It was not the same afterwards.
Right. They're still around, by the way. They're still touring, and you know, as in most relationships, sometimes you have to separate, you know, with Joey, my partner, Joey DeMeo. We started the band together, and sometimes you just have to step out, you know, and I guess that was I didn't want to go, but I'm sure that's what they wanted me. They wanted a new guitar player. I don't know. They wanted, maybe Joey just wanted total control. So, you know, money, things like that. That's what happens when bands become successful, and strange things happen.
Right.
But 6 albums in 6 years, and it hasn't been done again. And it hasn't been topped, and it'll never be topped. And it speaks for itself. The music that we did. So,
what was amazing about Manowar is that you guys were so successful worldwide, and yet you were too heavy to really make it on radio, per se, but you built it by touring, by getting out there in the throngs of the fans and creating that personal connection. You don't see bands doing that as much anymore.
Well, it was a different different time. Bands have to play live now. It's the only way we can make money.
Right.
And now we can't even play live. So, but we will be able to play live soon. But back in the day, you could tour, you could make money from touring, you could make money from selling records, you make money from your merchandise. A lot of those avenues of income have been taken away now. So you got to tour, and that's the only way. And you got to, you're like a rolling T-shirt salesman.
Right. You're a carnival barker as well as a guitar player.
Exactly. But you know what? Only great bands can tour. I mean, if you're not really great live, if you can't bring it every single night, you're pretty worthless. And that's what my new band is about, by the way. And we just have an incredible, Ross the Boss Band has an incredible live reputation, as I juxtapose into the Ross the Boss Band, if you don't mind. No,
right.
Manowar, that era at Manowar was incredible. It really was. It's blamed for starting power metal.
Right. And like I said, you guys were in an era when it was new wavy. It was a lot of synthesized music on the pop charts. And even the metal, quote unquote, was hair metal. It's a spandex crowd.
In the United States. In the United States.
Yeah. Sure. But I always liked it where you guys would say death to fake metal and things like that. It was cool.
False metal.
That's right. Good stuff there. One of the things. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I think it got a reaction.
Right. Well, one of the things that you carried over from Manowar with Ross the Boss, and that is the artwork. You guys always had some of the coolest album covers with Manowar, and I'm looking at your catalog of stuff you've done thus far with Ross the Boss Band, and it's very similar. It's all dragons and warlocks and Vikings and swords and shields and all that very cool macho metal stuff that we love metal for.
Imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, on our last record, Born of Fire, we have a hot woman. That's what we've got. That's our new thing.
Hot women. Can't go wrong with hot women and dragons.
No. And, I said I'm sick of ugly guys with swords on my record. So we're going to do something different on the new one. So that's what we did.
Right. Well, we're going to play something from the new album. Jose, my engineer, is queuing that up right now. Is there anything let's talk first before we play it, how you approach a Ross the Boss album versus how you've approached other albums you've worked on, whether it be with Manowar, Dictators, Manitoba's Wild Kingdom, etc. Is there a different way now that it's your band and your name on it that you approach things?
Well, you're only as good as the parts of your band. And with my band now, I have Mike LaPond on bass from Symphony X and Mike LaPond Silent Assassins. Mike LaPond is also in Death Dealer with me. Mm-hmm. So I have an incredible bass player and songwriter and ally. I have Steve Bolognese on drums, who's an incredible, I mean, an amazing drummer. And I have Mark Lopes, my lead singer, who was on By Bloodsworn, and the last one and this one. He's just absolutely an amazing singer and songwriter. So, you have a great band there. I have a great band, and I'm very proud of them. And so coming up with these songs were, it was awesome, you know, on this record. And we did it, and the 12 songs are absolutely fantastic, because I didn't have enough songs on my own to do this new record, especially right after By Bloodsworn. So it was so soon afterwards. It wasn't even 2 years. And it was a pleasure to work with my boys. And the record is just, I think, is just the best record we've ever done. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Well, let's play the title track. This is Born of Fire. It's Ross the Boss. It was released in March of this year. And check it out compared to what we just heard from Manowar and the Dictators. You'll see the evolution of this great musician. There you go, Ross the Boss, Born of Fire, title track. That album came out just a few months ago, March of 2020, right when everything was hitting with COVID, and even that heaviness couldn't drive the virus away. But you never know, the next one might. My guess is Ross the Boss.
Impeccable timing, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Just in time to say, stay home. Ross, you put out, this is your fourth album. And you mentioned a new one coming up. Let's look at the timeline. Hailstorm, which was your second album, came out in 2010. By Blood Sworn was 8 years later. Born of Fire, just 2 years later. And as you mentioned, there wasn't a lot of time there. But yet earlier in our conversation, you mentioned another album already ready to come out. So you're doing two in a year? That goes back to the days of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones in the 60s, when a band would do three albums a year, four albums a year.
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, the first Ross the Boss record was called New Metal Leader. That was 2008. Hailstorm was 2010. And then I had that German band, and I said, well, you know, I need an American band. But in the meantime, I was contacted by Sean Peck and Stu Marshall, and they said, we're going to form a called Death Dealer.
Right.
And, okay, so we did 2012, we did the first Death Dealer record, and then the second record was 2015.
Right. Okay.
That led us to By Blood Sworn, the new Ross the Boss record with my new lineup, and then now 2020. And so here we are. No, actually, By Blood Sworn was 2018.
Right.
So it's pretty much an album every 2 years, and now it's, I don't know, two albums. I got the third Death Dealer. I don't even know where I am anymore. I got the third Death Dealer record, Conquered Land, coming out in November.
Okay. So why two bands? What can you do with Ross the Boss that you can't do with Death Dealer and vice versa? Obviously, there's different members, but...
Yeah, it's different members, different singer, different songwriter. I mean, Stu Marshall is the main songwriter in Death Dealer. I just like not being the main guy. I like that. I mean, I like being part of the band.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ross the Boss, I'm
you're the
guy,
boss.
So yeah, and which is fine. You know, so I'm very, very, I'm very happy with everything, the way everything is working out. And so, you know, like when the green light comes on, I'm going to have the Dictators all ready to go. Death Dealer is all ready to go. And the Ross the Boss band are ready. So it's I'm going to be busy. I can tell you that. I'm going to be very busy. And that's what I like, because I'm a workaholic and what can I say, you know?
You could do a very lucrative tour if you had like two or three of your bands on the same bill and you do double or triple duty. You'd be having a nice paycheck at the end of the night.
The funny thing that you mentioned, that Death Dealer has Steve Bolognese, Ross the Boss, and Mike Lapine. That's three fourths of Ross the Boss band.
Right.
So we're looking to do that. We're looking to piggyback a lot of shows, and that would be saving a lot of plane fare.
That sure would.
You know, both bands traveling, and you just have to get in. Mark has to fly in, and Sean Peck has to fly in, you know. So, I mean, we have the same management, and we're going to have the same booking agent. So, you know, good things are going to happen.
Right.
You know, when you work hard and put out good stuff, good things will happen.
You know, metal seemed in America to have its heyday in the 70s. We had, you know, of course, Sabbath and Judas Priest and all these different great bands, UFO. It seemed to phase out, as I said, in the 80s in America. But it's never lost its shine with Europe, especially the Scandinavian countries, things like that. Why do you think America is not as metal savvy as the rest of the world?
Well, in Europe, it's part of their culture. The opera, the Wagner, the knights, you know, the castles. You drive around Europe, you see a lot of castles. It's part of their culture, you know. Those countries are ancient, you know. And
right.
So America still is not an old country in respect of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that metal, by the way, I would have to say metal is huge. It's huge. And I think it's growing as a genre, and especially here, because I just did a U.S. tour, January, February, and you wouldn't believe how many people came out and saw the band. I mean, it was fantastic. So it gave me a lot of hope for the heavy metal scene. So in the United States, I mean, Europe is just it's off the charts.
Right.
So in all the countries, Eastern Europe especially, has succumbed to the metal bug, and you know, South America is great too. Ancient Vietnam, India, China, Japan.
Okay.
They're all opening up.
Wow.
Pacific Rim.
What size rooms were you playing in January? I mean, how big of a venue are you averaging?
We were doing 500 seat clubs.
Okay.
You know, and doing them good. So sometimes theaters. We played for Live Nation in Philadelphia. The last show was a Monday night. 8 days later, February 24th, 8 days later, that's the motivation.
Ross the Boss is our guest, and we're going to play another track off the Born to Fire album. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about a special event that's coming up about Six Strings. So we'll talk to him about that, and we'll find out a little bit about how the guitar fell into his hands early on and why this has been the right career choice for Ross. But first, let's play one of my favorites on here, Waking the Moon. Waking the Moon. This is off Born to Fire. We'll be back with Ross after this. We'll be right back. Waking the Moon, Lord of Fire 2020, a new album came out March, Ross the Boss Band, and I love that song. I love the melodicness of it,
and I
love the way you step down and you just, the music stops and you just hear the doodle-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. It's just brilliant. Love that. Now, one of the things, Ross, on this album and in the past, you are a primary writer. This is your band. You are the band leader. You are the lead guitarist, and you are also the producer. So I've got to ask you, wearing all those hats, do you ever feel too close to the material, too close to the project, because you're so fingers-on and hands-on?
Well, that's a good question, you know. Sometimes people tend to be too close to their music and let it just eat them up. I'm a guy like, if it's good on the first take, it's good. If everybody is feeling it, the music is good. You let it go. You know, if you second guess yourself, you'll be second guessing yourself when the record's on the rack, and you know there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
I think you got to let the music breathe and go with it. You know,
how long does it need to breathe? Do you road test songs when you're out on the road? Let's say before you recorded this album, were you out there playing some of these songs and letting them breathe a little bit?
No, we didn't have the time.
Okay.
We went right from touring, right from the summer season touring, right into production of the new record. We were so rushed. Little did we know how much time we were really going to have.
Right. Wow. Yeah. You've got quite a catalog of stuff here. You're not slowing down by any means. You are taking on more work probably than you've ever done before. Why is that? Why not rest on your laurels a little bit?
You know, I've never been a lazy guy, and I find that in this stage in my life, it's just the joy to make the music, and as long as people are buying it and, you know, being happy and making people happy with it, and people are showing up, you know, because if they don't show up, we can't play.
Right.
So as long as the promoters and everybody are happy with everything, I think we have a chance to get to the next level. I think we're really gonna. I just think it's just an honor to play music, and we just work hard. I mean, we're a hardworking band. All my projects are, and we just give it everything we got. And, you know, that's what we musicians do. We just give it everything we got, and, you know, we rise and fall by that, you know?
I don't know how you're going to juggle everything. You've got the Dictators reunion, new music, new tour. You've got Ross the Boss, which still has a relatively new album that hasn't had a chance to hit the road yet. You've got Death Dealer. I mean, you're going to be out there promoting all of these. When are you going to sleep? And how are you going to juggle all this?
Well, I feel I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Okay.
And, you know, seriously, you know, it'll be a vigorous touring schedule. Nothing that we can't do. I mean, the days of bands playing singly, playing, you know, 220 shows, it's possible, but I don't think any band will do it. But I think if you put all of my bands together, I will be playing 250 shows a year.
Oh,
I have that feeling.
I wouldn't argue that.
Yeah. I mean, like with the Dictators, Albert Bouchard is older than me. So, I mean, we're going to play. We're going to play, and we're going to play a lot. And that first Dictators tour is going to be tremendous. It's going to be unbelievable. So many people are waiting for us to play. All we want to do is to be happy, is to have fun with our music of all the three bands. We want to have fun and totally dig what we're doing. And I think that's infectious, and I think people will really, really, really dig it.
When do you anticipate the Dictators album to be released?
I don't know if we're going to release a full album right yet.
Okay.
We're going to have tracks on Spotify, you know, on our media. We'll see the reaction to it. But I think we're going to have, I don't know, 10 tracks, and we'll see how things go.
Okay.
We really want, you know, we're really excited about it. So, you know.
One
song at a time, my friend. One song at a time.
We just want more. We want all we can get from you. One of the things that I'm happy to see with this new album is Born of Fire is the fact that you released it on vinyl. I own two record stores, and vinyl is king, in my opinion. And I'm very, very happy to see so many artists putting vinyl out now. But one of the things that my customer base asks is, well, can you get such and such an album by so-and-so? Are you going to go back and reissue the earlier Ross the Boss stuff? And do you still have control of the Manowar catalog for vinyl?
I don't have control of the Manowar. I know all the Manowar stuff is available on vinyl.
Okay.
All the Death Dealer material, War Master, Hollowed Ground, they're all available on vinyl. The Ross the Boss stuff is available on vinyl. New Metal Leader, Hailstorm, you can order it from AFM Records.
Okay.
Everything that I've done, yeah, all that stuff is available.
Very good. Let's talk about something else, and that is how you got to where you are. What made you choose music? When did you pick up the guitar, and how did you know that was your instrument?
I picked up the guitar when I was 14 years old. I had originally played piano, then violin. The piano I should have stuck with because the music teachers told my parents that I had my musical aptitude was off the charts. But of course I knew better, so I didn't stay with piano. I just wanted to go out and play baseball outside and screw around. You know, when you're a kid, you do that sort of thing.
Right.
You know, you learn by your mistakes. Then I picked up violin in junior high school. I didn't know how to play it, but I started out at like 12th violin in the orchestra. Mm-hmm. And in like about 3-4 weeks, I was number one violin.
Oh, first chair. Excellent.
Yeah, yes. And, I my musical aptitude, thank God. I mean, it was just off the charts. It came to me very, very easily. But then I looked at the violin, and then I looked at the Beatles, and then the Rolling Stones, and the popularity with our female friends. I just said to myself, man, you're not playing the right instrument, Ross. You know, because right. I was just this nerdy kid from the Bronx. You know, I was just this nerdy Jewish kid from the Bronx, New York. And, you know, I'm saying, I got to up my image a little bit. You know, I'm saying to myself, this ain't going to get it. So I told my grandma, I said, Gram, I want to play guitar. So she walked me down to the music store and bought me my first guitar.
God bless her.
Bless her heart. And she was already, she could sing opera, play piano. And so I definitely got some musical talent from her. And so we went and got a guitar, and I started playing. And then, my parents said, "Yeah, you should take some guitar lessons." So I started taking guitar lessons, and within about 3 weeks, I was kind of better than the teacher. And I was just, I'm not boasting about that kind
right.
of stuff. My advancement on the instrument was very, very quick. And so it was like my brain was like sopping up all this music. That was around the British Invasion, 67, Jimi Hendrix, you know, Eric Clapton and Cream.
Mm-hmm.
My mind was fertile. East West by Paul Butterfield, Mike Bloomfield, another Jewish, very famous Jewish
monster
player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elvin Bishop, you know, guys like that. The Three Kings, Muddy Waters, Freddie King, Albert King, B.B. King, my idols. You know, so basically I was like a blues guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And what that has done, that has given me the foundation to play all these genres of music so easily.
It's interesting to note that to the listeners out there, a lot of NPR people are into the jazz and the classical and things, and that's great because if you look at the metal, a lot of the metal bands, classical is the root of it. Look at what Rachel Barton's done on the violin. She goes from classical to heavy metal. Great Cat, your stuff.
Right.
You know, the things
right.
in Trans-Siberian, things like that. They lend themselves. It's just a little more volume added.
Sure.
Maybe a little more speed.
A little speed and volume, sure.
Yep.
Heavy metal definitely avails itself to the classical music. Manowar was heavily influenced by Richard Wagner,
You can hear that.
Stuff like that.
You can hear that in Manowar, definitely. You know, talking about guitar brings us to our final topic here, because I do want to slip at least part of another song in before we say goodbye, and we're running out of time, and that is the six-string salute. A lot of people are watching musicians doing these virtual concerts and saying, hey, we got a virtual tip jar, help us out, and that's great. The musicians need the help, but what people forget is the guys that make the rock roll, the crews. And I've been on both sides of that as a guy that used to load semis, a guy that, you know, produces shows. They forget us. They forget the crew, the ones that make it work, the spotlight operators. And you haven't. You guys are doing this thing on September 17th, six-string salute, a virtual concert to help the crews. Give us a couple of minutes to talk about that. You've got a lot of folks that have been on this show. Steve Hackett from Genesis, who will be on the show on Friday. We've had Rick Emmett was on 2 weeks ago, Tommy Shaw, all these guys. It's not just metal. It's all styles of music and rock. Frank Hannon of Tesla, Richard Williams of Kansas, yourself. What is this all about?
Well, it's Live Nation, and for Crew Nation. So it's something we're going to raise money. We're going to raise money for all the crews that are out of work right now, and they need our help. I mean, they just need our help. There's just no doubt about it. And, whatever we could raise, whatever Live Nation could raise for the crews, it's going to be very much appreciated by them.
Mm-hmm.
With some of fantastic artists, Steve Vai, I mean he's a monster.
Mm-hmm. Satriani's on there.
Mr. Satriani said he was going to do something. A whole bunch of Hailstorm. A whole bunch of people, old and new. There's so many names I couldn't even give them to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so proud to be a part of it. So we redid an old Manowar song called "The Heart of Steel." We did it acoustically, and I'm so proud of it. I think it shows off another side of my playing: nylon string guitars with a Spanish flair.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very, very, very happy that this is going down, and we hope that Live Nation could really turn this into some money for our brothers and sisters.
Now, this will be a virtual concert. Are they recording this? Will this be released on either CD or vinyl
know.
Or something?
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Like a We Are the World project sort of thing?
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to do it. We're just really excited to be a part of it. Live Nation has a habit of making money.
Right.
So, they sure do. So, I mean, I think they'll be okay. I'm honored to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, the last show we played, February 24th, was playing a Live Nation venue in Philly. So that was it. So little did we know. But we also did something very, very cool for Wacken. You know the Wacken Festival?
Yes.
Okay, it's 120,000 people. It's perhaps the biggest metal festival there is next to, you know, that and Hellfest. We recorded it. They did the Wacken virtual online show
mm-hmm.
of every band that was on the bill. And we weren't even on the bill, but they asked me to do something. So we recorded a half an hour, six songs. Came out a couple of weeks ago. It was amazing. We had a great response to it. So out there, if you want to hear my band, and you see that Wacken is going to replay, we play the festival.
Okay.
I'm sure you can. You can get their history and their
right.
What they got up there is to just go to Wacken 2020.
I imagine online. you'll have links and everything on all of this at rosstheboss.com, correct?
Yeah. We'll have links all out. But
okay.
The Live Nation should be easily found, and the Wacken's easily found. And
okay.
I mean, for someone that wasn't touring or anything, we managed to keep pretty busy.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, the whole thing has just been very, very disconcerting. And but I'm telling all my musician friends is keep their spirits up. All the fans, keep the spirits up. The way you can help us is by buying our merchandise, by buying our CDs, by actually, you know, buying stuff from us because we need the money.
Right.
And there's just no two ways about it. We cannot make money the way we make money. We can't go on tour. We can't sell our merchandise to you directly when we could sell it indirectly. But hopefully next year, we'll be able to tour. I have my European tour is the rescheduled one that was canceled in April with Burning Witches from Switzerland, the girls. It's rebooked from November to December coming up, and honestly, none of us think it's going to happen. So,
well, hopefully
we're putting together Plan C. This is Plan C for the spring 2021. In the meantime, what can we do?
Our guest is Ross the Boss. Ross, thank you so much for joining us. And again, folks, you can keep up with him at rosstheboss.com. And there's a dash between each of those, ross-boss. So anyway, Ross the Boss, Born of Fire, new album. We're going to leave you with a song. Ross, thank you again for joining us and spending so much time tonight.
Thank you for asking such great questions and for caring. And thank you for caring for all us musicians. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you all out on the road one of these days, kids.
All right. Death to False Metal. This is Maiden of Shadows to take us out. I'm Lounges. I'm out of here. Adios. We'll see you with Steve Hackett on Friday.